This is Insight on Business, the news hour for Monday, November 4, 2013. My name is Michael Libby, and for the next hour, we'll share the business news stories of the day, along with the stock market report and a look at the agricultural commodities. We'll also welcome two guests to the IOB newsroom. This half hour, we'll be visiting with our new friend Becky McRae about a host of issues, from rural economic development, public speaking, to tourism, and so much more. Becky McRae, this half hour. Then after we round the bottom of the hour, we'll make welcome Brianne Sanchez-Young. We're going to talk about a new program she's working on for nonprofit executives and young professionals. Very good stuff from one of our very favorite people. We'll get to the top business news stories of the day right after we check the weather and the traffic. Thanks for taking us along home on your drive home. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. When we come back, we'll be joined by our first guest of the day. This is going to be Becky McRae. We're going to be talking about everything from rural economic development to tourism. Hang in there with us on your drive home. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines, the Fireplace Superstore of Urbandale, Merit Resources of Des Moines, and Remax Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the metro.
14 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. Welcome back to the News Hour. If you've got news for us, it's easy to get a hold of us. All you have to do is drop us a line, iobnewsroom@gmail.com. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. If you want to connect with us before, during, or after the broadcast, we're always on Twitter. It just seems that way. And that is IOB_NewsHour. That's IOB_NewsHour. Our first guest for the News Hour today is Becky McRae. Becky is in Iowa talking with people in Webster City. This is such a cool connection. You know, I have a friend. Her name's Deb Brown. And Deb has been working with tourism and rural development and all kinds of things for years, and we've hit it off. She does the 140 character conference in several places across the state, and she is now the executive director of the Webster County Chamber of Commerce, and which is double cool because Webster City is such a cool place, and they've got lots of opportunities up there. And she had me go and speak to the Webster City Chamber of Commerce about social media and all kinds of other things recently at the Kendall Young Library, which, by the way, is beautiful. If you ever get a chance to go there, you got to check this out. It's absolutely stunning. And so she said, "Hey, Michael, I've got a friend coming to town." Now, this is in Webster City. "I've got a friend coming to town. Mind if I bring her down and we can talk about rural economic development and tourism and all kinds of other fun things?" And I said, "Well, yeah, but you're not in Des Moines. You're in Webster City." And she says, "No problem. I'll drive down." That's the kind of friends we have. Great ones. With us is Becky McRae. Becky is a professional speaker. She is a traveler. She goes all over the country talking about social media, utilizing those tools to increase your business. She talks about rural economic development, and she also talks about the heavy hand that tourism plays in reviving rural America. Welcome to the News Hour, Becky.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here today.
Well, you're always excited.
Well, I am kind of excited. I really like the way you introduce me, and it makes it sound like I'm on the road every second of every minute of every day.
Well, you can increase your rate that way, see?
Well, we just may bump the rate because of the friend of Deb factor. But I actually have my own businesses in Oklahoma. I have a liquor store and a cattle ranch, my husband and I do. And then I do the speaking and writing about small town business.
I couldn't think of a better mix. What do you think, Dustin? I mean, have a liquor store and a cattle ranch. I mean, does it get any better than that?
I like it a lot. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I think too.
That's moose and booze.
Moose and booze. So tell us a little bit about your operation in Oklahoma.
Okay, well, the liquor store, the cattle ranch, everything. You know, it's just one of those things. I'm a small town business owner. The liquor store belonged to my mom before me.
Really?
She had it for, I don't remember, 15, 16 years. And then we took it over. I was one of those people that used to work as a city manager in a small town of about, 993 people.
Not much to manage, is there?
There were 992 factions. I was fired from that job and decided, you know, I'm going to go into the liquor business. Nobody will fire you from the liquor business.
And they all love you.
And everybody's happy. You know, you're making people happy. It's a good business. And then the cattle don't really care if you've got political aspirations or not. So that all works out really well. And then because I was at the liquor store and I found that, you know, I had a little time on my hands at the liquor store, I decided to share what I knew about business, what I had seen other small town business people really knew about small town business. And I started sharing all that kind of stuff online, started writing about it. That's where smallbizsurvival.com came from, was what I had learned from other business owners.
And isn't it amazing when you start to teach other business owners how much more you learn?
Absolutely. That is, I've learned a ton just doing this because people ask great questions and I have to go find somebody that knows the answer to ask that question of. And so I learn stuff all the time like that. And then anytime I learn something, some lesson from my business, I try to always share that with my readers as well. We had a break-in at the liquor store today. That's the kind of things that happen on occasion. It's been 20 years since there was a break-in at our liquor store. Small town. So they broke the front window of the store. And so we're scrambling around figuring out what are we going to do? How are we going to take care of everything? So I can just tell you right now, we're going to be learning from those lessons. There'll be an article about
I'm
Small
sure
Biz Survival.
I
can just tell.
What, when we're talking about small business and small business survival, whether it's in a metro or in a rural community, it really, there's some similarities in the issues that they face. What are the top two or three issues that small business people tend to face today, and what can they do to overcome those things?
Small independent business people face a lot of pressure from online competition. Mm-hmm. So that is a real common thread for all kinds of business owners, no matter where they're located. I hear from all kinds of business owners the difficulty in finding staff, finding people
employees
to work with you is very difficult and a big challenge. And then I think maybe the next big challenge is finding time to do everything that you need to do. Being the business owner puts you in charge of all the problems. And whatever problem comes up, that's your problem.
And there are people out there that are driving home or sitting in their offices or at their stores or retail centers
they're
right now.
They're still at work.
Exactly. And they're going, she's exactly right, because I not only have to do the bookkeeping, I not only have to do the customer convenience care, I not only have to sometimes make the product, I have to sell the product, and then I have to file the product and clean the office and do all that stuff that in the corporate sector, we kind of take it for granted.
Right. You're in a building with a lot of people and a lot of people that accomplish a lot of things. And when you go into business, whatever problem occurs, no one will ever care as much as you care, because it's yours. And it matters to your heart. It should matter to your heart. And I think that then on top of that, then you go, oh, sometime I have to find time to market this business.
Right.
I have to reach out to new people. I'm supposed to be on Pinterest, and I'm supposed to be taking care of Twitter. I'm supposed to be conveying. We're supposed to have an email newsletter this week. Who's going to do that? So if you add up all the things that you're responsible for, just finding time to stop for 1 second, step back, take a look at your business and figure out, where are we going from here?
Mm.
It's a big challenge.
I was just with some people today, and I'll tell you who it was. It was the Merle Hay Mall people. And I was talking to their general manager and their marketing person, and we were talking about that very same issue. One of the things that business fails to do, in my opinion, is shut the door, turn off the computer, and sit there and think.
It's hard.
Oh, it is hard, because you're pulled in so many directions. But if you're not thinking about where you're at today and where you want to go tomorrow, then you're pointing.
At Deb. I'm pointing at Deb because we had this very conversation about how important it is to stop and think about where you're going.
Absolutely.
It's very easy in life and in business to just kind of roll forward with what's going to happen next and wait for it to kind of roll downhill until it hits you. Well, that stuff that rolls downhill and hits you is not good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's better for you as a business to stop, to lock the door, to set an appointment, to give yourself a lunch appointment, and to make sure that nobody can find you, go off site where they cannot get to you, leave the phone behind. Oh, I left it in the car. Sorry, I had no idea. And then spend 1 hour every single week at minimum. Yep. Every day is better, but if you'll do it once a week.
Think about how many ideas and how many things can come to fruition. I have to tell you, from personal experience, I'm there. I know exactly what you're talking about. I have, before, I have just said, okay, I'm going to Applebee's for the afternoon, and I'm not taking the phone. I'm just going to take a pad of paper, and it's going to be me, and I'm going to sit there. Or I'm going to a locally owned restaurant. Or usually what's really fun is to go to the locally owned bar. Like the Urban Grill.
That's where all the good
stuff. Yeah, that's where
done.
All the good stuff happens.
That's where you start thinking.
Well, that's when you start really getting smart.
Yeah.
And the Urban Grill, which, by the way, is a wonderful, wonderful place, locally owned here in the Des Moines metro area. And just sit there and put together some ideas away from the phone, away from the conversation, away from the distractions and all those things, and how true that is. So I would suspect, is that your number one tip for people?
That's the number one tip for the day. Yeah. You bet.
All right. Becky McRae in studio with us. She's kind enough to fly up here all the way from Oklahoma just for this show. No, that's not quite accurate. So what were you doing in Webster City?
Well, I was there to visit Deb, partially, but mostly I was there because we did a brainstorming session with merchants. So instead of the one-hour lecture where I stand up and deliver the, you know, expert from 50 miles away came with briefcase and is delivering the news. Instead of that, we sat down with 20 people in chairs in a circle, and we said, let's talk about how do you market your business. Let's talk about what's working for people. Let's talk about working together. Let's talk about what's being done in this community that actually works. And we uncovered a few problems, but we uncovered a lot more opportunities, and we uncovered a wonderful positive spirit amongst those people in that room that they want to work together, that they all are. I thought the most important thing was we found out they're all invested in that community.
Sure.
They all have a passion for their business, and you could see it. You could see it as a few of them talked about why their business mattered in the world, that they realized that what they do makes a difference in the world and in the community they're in.
You know, that's a great idea. And it's something that's done in this community. And I happen to know this because I've been to several of the sessions in Windsor Heights, tiny Windsor Heights, population less than 5,000. It's about 3 miles by 3 miles. Everybody knows us for our 25 mile an hour speed limit. Thank you very much. It's a safe community. And What are you doing now?
Is Sherry Borzo from
Windsor you know Sherry?
Heights? Yeah, I know Sherry.
Oh, okay.
Sherry and I talked a long time ago on a podcast that she used to do.
Exactly.
A million years ago. It was wonderful.
So Sherry Borzo is the executive director of the chamber. And what they do there is this very same thing. They gather together once a month for an hour, chamber people, and they talk about how can we improve our businesses and our outreach and marketing and learn from each other. And you know, when you start doing that, especially with small and local businesses, and if you own one, if you're part of a chamber, encourage this to happen. Because what happens is there is strength in numbers, and all the big box stores out there cannot beat you when you are working together for the common good of keeping that dollar local.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. And now Deb and I were talking to a restaurant owner today, and he was saying, man, I lay awake at night and try to think of ideas for my business. And you just made that up right off the top of your head. How come I can't think of this? And I said, it's because it's your business. And because you think about you, if you're neck deep in it, you can never have as good of an outside perspective as just somebody from just across the street can give you an idea that you will never think of on your own. So you can come, two people will come up with more ideas than one person on their own.
So you're here in Des Moines today. You know, what's really interesting is the Women in Ag Sustainable Ag Conference starts this week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah, it starts this week. As a matter of fact, I think it what is today? The 6th, 7th, and 8th. Yeah. And people from all over are coming in to learn about how to empower women in sustainable agricultural adventures and things like that. A really cool thing.
Women are playing a leading role in sustainable agriculture.
Absolutely.
Women have a sensitivity to questions about sustainability that I think some men do not. It's easy for a farm guy to have grown up. You're nodding like either you agree or you think I'm nuts.
I think you're absolutely correct.
But there's, you know, it's easy for a farm guy to grow up after generations and daddy did it this way and that's the way we're supposed to do it. And sometimes it takes a woman to go, you know, I think that for my kids, what I feed them, I'm going to be more concerned about inputs and how sustainable are we? How can we reduce that? I was just in Canada last week. I'm on my way home. This is like right on the way home, right?
Yeah.
And there we were listening to how the apple growers there are working with, they have a cooperative that does the marketing for them. And one of the roles that they have is they have little scouts that go out. They call them scouts. They go out and they keep an eye on the crop. They watch the pest levels.
Mm-hmm.
And they only, instead of calendar applying the chemicals, because it's every Thursday or once a month, or it's the 15th and we've got to do it.
You mean they actually go out?
And so they actually go out and they go, somebody has to count the number of bugs and say, okay, what's the fungus level and what's, you know, how is everything that could possibly affect an apple crop? And they only apply just enough to
when
it is needed. Mm-hmm. And they save a lot of money for the cooperative. They save a lot of money for the growers. And they feel like it's a much more sustainable output. They've also, you know, installed a truckload of equipment so that they're able to move the grading of apples from happening in the field where it's not really a sustainable activity. There's one set of equipment. They don't have to duplicate equipment and have a lot of waste. They're able to do all of that at the cooperative. That's in Norfolk County, Ontario, Canada.
There you go. And somebody had to sit down and think about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was a group of them. That's the point. It's a cooperative. It took a group of people sitting down together to think, oh, that's the best way for us to do it. That's how that's going to work best.
Becky McRae, ladies and gentlemen, in studio. She has her own businesses and a liquor store and a cattle. What kind of cattle?
They're black Angus
black
cattle.
Angles, yeah.
Wonderful,
nope.
Tasty, beautiful
no doubt.
Beef cows.
You know, that that breed has done such a fabulous job of marketing themselves. I mean,
oh, you bet.
Yeah, I mean, it really has done. We used to raise Polled Hereford. You know, that was years ago. But Angus, the Angus producers, have done such a superior job in branding that breed and making all kinds of money in the process.
Absolutely. Nicely certified done. Black Angus
beef. There
beef.
You go. Yeah. And every grocery store touts it. You know?
Bet. Well, it tastes good. That's why.
It does.
Sorry.
so does Hereford. But anyway, tell us about your speaking business. You go out and you speak about a wide variety of things, and how do people get a hold of you?
Speaking, I try to only do one a month because I really do have these businesses at home, mm-hmm. and I want to stay in touch with those businesses. Obviously, there's things that come up and have to be dealt with, but I also don't ever want to become that speaker that you can tell has been on the road for too long mm-hmm. and they've forgotten why they ever left twice. In the first place. You've seen some of those.
But your blog is probably the primary thing that goes on.
Well, there's this smallbizsurvival.com, and that's all about small town business. And where people find out about me as a speaker is BeckyMcRae.com, two C's in McRae. There are a few of the topics that I talk about, which mm-hmm. is mostly about small town business, what we know that's a big secret in the business world today, because people in the big city forgot the stuff that we still remember in small towns.
And what would be one of those things that they've forgotten?
One of the things that they've forgotten is to plan for zero. Plan for zero. There will be a time when you will have no income. It is absolutely true, no matter what happens. Every business needs to plan for a zero period. Farmers remembered this because there will be a time period when your crop will be zero and you will have nothing. And you will have 12 long months to think about what you messed up and how you're going to fix it this time. And then you can try again and see if you'll have income this year. So since farmers remembered that, most small town people are a little more connected to it, and they still remember it, and they plan for it.
There you go. Becky McRae, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Deb, for bringing her down here, for crying out loud. This is the quietest I've ever seen her. I've never seen Deb this quiet before.
This is pretty amazing. I'd like to be able to duplicate this set of situations sometime later because I've never seen Deb Brown this quiet.
Yeah, we should have put the videotape on this and just to say, hey, ladies and gentlemen, look, Deb Brown can actually shut up for 15 minutes. You know,
they say the same thing about me, so I really cannot go very far with this.
Becky McRae, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so very much for making a special effort to come down here. From Webster City. And Deb, congratulations to you. I know that Webster City and the Webster City Chamber of Commerce are going to be flush with all kinds of opportunities in the very near future because you are one of the best. I don't blow the smoke. We're going to make room for the Wall Street Journal report. And then after that, we've got stocks of local interest. Following the stocks of local interest, we'll take a look at the commodity report from agriculture. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
bucks barely down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on?
And once again, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up a little more than 23.5 points, closing today at 15,639. When we come back, Brianne Sanchez-Young about a brand new program designed for young nonprofit directors. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
Support for Insight on Business, the NewsHour, comes from Rick Davis Mortgage Loans of West Des Moines, Bob Oliver Heating and Cooling of Des Moines, and Westside Auto Pros of Des Moines.
So very glad that you're along the ride with us on your way home tonight from the first Monday of the month of November. You want to go ahead and contact us? It's easy to do. We're on Twitter. We follow before, during, and after, and that is at IOB underscore NewsHour. That's at IOB. Underscore News Hour. If you've got a news story for us, so send it along. It's iobnewsroom@gmail.com, iobnewsroom@gmail.com. And if you can't listen on our time when we're broadcasting daily Monday through Friday from 5 until 6, we do have a podcast page out there. We've got a Facebook page. We do the social media stuff. And you can find out everything and listen to these interviews with these what we think are some interesting people with some really niche-y things going on. And that really does introduce our next guest. This is Brianne Sanchez, and Brianne and I have been peripherally around each other for years now. I think back when she was a teenager almost. But Brianne Sanchez is doing some neat things with young professionals and nonprofits, and this is such a seminal thing to talk about because I think this could remake so many people out there and help their job and help them do a much better job at nonprofit works. Welcome to the NewsHour.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Well, tell us about what all this is. So it's young professionals, but it's
the Young Nonprofit Professionals Network is a national organization aimed at fostering that nonprofit sector and the young people working within it. And a couple of friends of mine and I started meeting, having coffee to talk about, especially working with youth in the nonprofit sector. That's kind of how it all got started. And we were having these great conversations up at Smoky Row.
Sure.
And then it got to the point where we thought maybe there are other topics related to nonprofits that we wanted to discuss. So many of us in the sector wear a variety of different hats. You know, in my job at the Des Moines, I have a dream foundation. Technically, I'm the outreach coordinator, but I like to just call it other duties as assigned. You know, there's administrative tasks,
sure.
There's direct service, there's marketing, there's volunteer management, event planning, a lot of different topics.
And because there are so many, and boy, this is a cool topic, because there are so many young people involved in nonprofit work, because let's face it, many nonprofits are trying to keep their budget skinny, so they hire younger people, hoping that they're not going to have to pay them a lot of money, and because the other reason they're keeping their budget skinny and their overhead light, there's lots of things that a person has to do when they're there, but it is great training for all kinds of things
in
the future.
Right. So we saw this need that we wanted to address a number of topics, and then I actually help administer the Drake University Career Center Twitter feed as sort of a hobby. I don't know. And so I was aware of the YNPN network nationally, and when we decided we wanted to branch out, we wanted to partner up with an organization that had some name recognition and some branding so that people who were moving to Des Moines from other communities would be able to plug in right away. And so that's why we decided to not just form some random Des Moines nonprofit group, but to incorporate with that national network.
And that would make good sense. If there's somebody moving here from out of state or out of town, you know, they'll have the opportunity to already be connected in some way. So what kinds of things do you do?
Sure. We have a monthly discussion group. That's a really great opportunity for people who want to get involved right away. It's I think it's the third Thursday from 8 to 9 a.m. And we travel around to different locations. The next one is coming up at the Drake School of Law, their legal clinic.
Sure.
And it's talking about legal issues and nonprofits. And we're getting some advice from Chip Lowe, who's the new director of that nonprofit program there. And so the coffee group is a great way to get introduced. We normally have about a dozen people attending those. We have monthly socials. So a lot of young nonprofit professionals might work in an organization that only has, you know, three or four other staff members.
Sure.
So they're kind of missing out on the coworker scene. And so we provide a little bit of that social aspect. We had over at the 515 Brewing Company this summer, we had a super swag social. So we encouraged everyone to wear their, you know, XXL nonprofit t-shirts left over from their events and bring the water bottles and koozies and all sorts of stuff that their organizations give away to promote their missions. So that was kind of a fun event that we did. We do professional development events in the evening. We just had an Afraid to Ask series that was about making the ask and kind of getting over the fear of
asking for the donation.
Yeah. So that was a wonderful event. You know, we had 30 plus people packing the Saints patio out there in Beaverdale.
What a great place to go.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. So we've done LinkedIn how-tos.
Right.
We do try and offer professional headshots at a lot of our events because that really helps to set a professional persona.
Don't you think? Hey, if you know anybody that is on LinkedIn, here's a question for you.
Okay.
When somebody asks to link up with you on LinkedIn and they don't have a photograph, do you accept their...
It depends. It's less likely that I would.
It is less likely, isn't it? That really bothers me. Why would professionals who are on LinkedIn not have a photo? It's just odd.
So that's one of the kind of services that we've been offering. And we have a very active Facebook page, Twitter, and a newsletter that goes out every month with job opportunities and that kind of thing to get connected. So.
What is the biggest obstacle to success or to continued growth that a young professional in the nonprofit sector might face?
The national organization, Young Nonprofit Professional Network, conducted a survey in 2007 about why young professionals leave the sector. And 90% stated burnout as the number one reason.
Because
so,
you've got so many things to do.
You're doing a lot of different things. Maybe you're working some crazy hours, especially in those direct service roles, I think. Burnout is one. Low salary is another. A lack of advancement and job stress were the different topics that were cited. And 45% of the most skilled and experienced young nonprofit employees planned to leave the sector, which is really fascinating. But many of those people also plan to return at some point. So I don't know if that meant, you know, I'm going to do my idealistic thing for a couple of years, then, you know, provide for my family and then hope to get back into doing what I love. I don't know if that's kind of what people were saying. But yeah, those are some interesting statistics. So
there are, you know, I was thinking here on the local level, here in the metropolitan area, we have tons of nonprofit organizations, chambers of commerce, all kinds of things. Yeah, great, great organizations that are out there trying to do the very best that they can to fulfill whatever their mission happens to be. And I can, having been in that role at one time in my life, I was a director of development and public relations for a vertically integrated long-term healthcare facility, nonprofit. And so I get it. And there was a lot of things I had to do and a lot of things going on. But at the same time, it is perhaps one of the most rewarding jobs, even though there's all these stress things, because you're doing some good.
Definitely. We're hoping to make some t-shirts that say we'll work for good. So it's definitely rewarding, and it's especially rewarding if you don't feel like you're doing it alone. Yeah. You know, so that camaraderie, we're about sharing resources with each other, mm-hmm. Collaborating. You know, a lot of the Community Foundation and a lot of grantors really like to see when nonprofits can come together and present an idea and say, you know, we're going to pool our resources. We're going to work together to, you know, maybe get this mentoring project done. And by developing those relationships through YNPN, we're hoping that kind of the next generation of nonprofit leaders will be poised to collaborate even more.
Very good. We had Gordon Fisher in from the Greater Des Moines Community Foundation a couple of weeks ago, and what a fascinating story that is. And
yes.
They're a very large corpus, and they're doing a lot of good in this area.
They are.
And then also we had Tom Swartwood from Drake
in. Yes, yes.
And, you know, whenever Tom walks into a room, people just automatically get smarter.
And he's a great guy.
He is a great guy. But the Drake University.
Yes.
Is so invested in this community.
They are.
And they do so many cool things.
Mm-hmm. Three of our 9 executive board members, recently graduated from the Drake MPA program in nonprofit management.
Is that right?
So, yeah, it was kind of where a few of us met each other, and it's been really fun to have a relationship with Drake. They're, I think, hoping to come on as one of our first sponsors once we get a bank account as an organization. First things first.
It's all these crazy things you got to do, like, oh, yeah, bank account.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, up till this point, it's been super grassroots. You know, anything that we put on has been through the generosity of our board members. We had a launch event last January. I went to Costco and bought the food. Danny Hagen, the co-founder, put the reservation at Confluence on his personal credit card, and we just crossed our fingers and hoped people would come through
and
the door.
Did.
And they did.
Proves that there's a need.
Oh, it's huge. We had originally 80 people on our mailing list and maybe a couple hundred Facebook fans. And I said, oh, I'm going to go and import all of those names and email addresses in who've attended that launch event. And I thought, okay, there are 100 people there. We have 80 on the mailing list, maybe, you know, 20 names. I ended up importing 80 new names into our mailing list. So it's just incredible word of mouth that's been spreading. So.
And how do people get a hold of you to get involved
with
the group?
Sure. I think the Facebook page is probably the best way to keep abreast of everything we're doing. And that's YNPN Des Moines on Facebook. Our group is now more than 700 strong on Facebook. Yeah, it's incredible. And then we always post our newsletter online there, so you can sign up for the newsletter and get those monthly emails from us with all the events, job postings, professional development resources, things like that.
Brianne Sanchez, ladies and gentlemen, with the Young Professionals Nonprofit Group here in Des Moines that's also affiliated on a national basis. What's it cost to join?
Well, currently there's no cost to
join.
Oh, no. Which is fun because we don't have a bank account set up yet. But we are actually going to be rolling out an official membership structure at our first birthday party, which will be January 14th.
Well, you have to gauge whether or not there's interest before you can start charging
money. Yeah, definitely. I think that we've proved our value over the past year. And so we're looking at about $25 as a membership fee.
Brianne, there is so many networking functions that go on.
Definitely.
I mean, you know, come on. We could probably spend every night at some kind of a networking function.
Certainly.
Down there. And so it's refreshing to hear about a networking function or a group that actually has a mission and a point and a reason for existing rather than just coming together and chatting.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, and a lot of those relationships, you can't really discount the social hours or the hours necessarily because there's some great relationships and connections that come out of those. But I think, you know, some people think, oh, you know, you're just going to have happy hours. But really, this is a huge vehicle for professional development. And a lot of organizations that these young people work for can't necessarily pay for them to go to all the different trainings and conferences.
How true that is.
So
yeah.
$25 is a steal.
It is. As soon as the bank account
The bank account gets made. Yeah.
You know, one of the things we love doing with regard to Inside on Business, the News Hour, is bringing in startups and people that have an idea and they want to go forward with it and to give you voice in this space of broadcasting. So we're really proud that you took the opportunity and came down and wanted to talk. And the other nice thing is we know that you're very connected. And you will spread the word about the only regional broadcast that has anything to do with business.
I've already tweeted it, I'm putting it on my blog.
I'm looking right here. Here you are. And we'll have the podcast up for you as well. Brianne Sanchez, ladies and gentlemen, you can find her on Twitter. It's BRIANNE_Sanchez, SANCHEZ. And if you want more information, you can find her on Twitter. Go to the Facebook page for the Young Professional Nonprofit Group. Thank you so much
for
coming in.
I appreciate it. Very nice.
Wow, we appreciate you. I mean, it's wonderful to see young people out there really fired up about whatever it is that they're doing, especially when they're doing good. Get that T-shirt out. I'll take an extra large. Swag, man. You got to go for swag, right? We've got 6.5 minutes now before the top of the hour. When we come back, we've got some more local news. We've got some new coffee shop stuff going on, a little bit about the Indianola mayor's race happening. Election day is tomorrow. All kinds of stuff. This is Inside on Business, the News Hour.
Right before my very eyes. Surprise!
Voters go to the polls there and in other metro communities tomorrow. Remember to go and vote. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, our board operator, Dustin Halderson, Jimmy Olson, Mary Sayer, and myself, my name is Michael Libby. Thanks so very much for listening in. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.